Welcome to Creating Cashflow for February 19th, 2023. June is a fabulous, that's okay, fabulous cashflow cat. She's building a side business called The Ribcage, where she offers breathwork and meditation classes and privates to artists and actors to help them survive and thrive in this challenging industry. Love that. That's the first time I've heard that. That's so exciting. And victory report. She wrote, I'm excited to share that I sold my first three session package for $300. It's not what I was expecting it to look like or be about, but it just might be extremely aligned with what I want to be doing. I'm proud of myself because I saw an opportunity. I pitched my idea. Apparently, it was received. I'm very excited to work with my new client to help prepare her for her first hosting gig. My first session is Tuesday morning. Part of me is like, wait, I have no idea what I'm doing. But also part of me knows that I can help her and that I will be the most helpful. I will be most helpful when I'm not spinning the self-doubt wheels in my head. That's congratulations.
Thank you.
What happened? What was that organic moment where you were like, hey?
My friend texted me. And so I've been like really, you know, thinking about all this stuff. Whatever. But the thing that happens, my friend texted me being like, hey, do you know any public speaking coaches? And I said, no, but I know a lot of acting coaches. What's it for? And he said, my friend Leslie, who I have met once before at his birthday party, it was asked to host a video game award show. And because she's like a TikTok celebrity, but yeah, she's never been in front of people before. And I was like, oh, how cool for her. How exciting. I said, I can definitely like, you know, think about who in my network could help. But I said, I kind of feel like I could help her. And he was like, okay, well, do you want her info? And I said, why don't you ask her? Let her know I'm not a professional public speaking coach, but I help actors all the time and I have some ideas. I'd love to like get on the phone with her. And so he was like, she wants to talk to you. And we hopped on the phone and I did like a brain dump of kind of initially what came to me about like what she might need or what questions I have about where she's at and what support she's looking for. And then also some like questions where I could find out some information about where from where I stand, yeah, I think she's at. And then we had this phone call and it was so weird because I felt like I like went into like flow state where I was just like, I got off the phone and I was like, I was with my friend. I was like, I think I pitched her something that I like don't have, but it all just like came flooding in. And what was really cool is I was like, I hear that you need some physical help with like vocalizing and vocal range and dynamic and like some physical stamina exercises, which I can, I was like, I'm not, I was just sort of, I felt good because I was really clear with her. I was like, I'm not a professional in this way, but I have a lot of training from a lot of different angles that I think could help you with this. So I'd be happy to like offer you some of this physical stuff, but also I was asking her, you know, like what's coming up or when you think about it, what a host is and what that means to you. And
that's a good question.
And she was
great
like,
great question.
Never thought about that. And we talked about that. And then also I was just like, what do you, you know, what does this mean to you and your evolution? And she was like, I'm honored. And I was like, how do you want to feel? She's like, I want to feel proud. And so it's just like, we had this really beautiful conversation where at the end I was like, I think we could work for three sessions together. And I think we could get you ready to feel really good about this. And I'll write up like a little email proposal with kind of more about what we talked about and what we're going to do. And then with that email, you can let me know if you're in. She was like, okay. So then I kind of just like summarized what we talked about and I wrote her and I kind of broke it down into like physical body, all of that stuff, more mental decisions about like what to wear and who she can bring as her support system and like, what are the decisions we have to make? And then I was like, and we can do a lot of more like intention set. And she's in the video game world, so she doesn't think this way normally, but she was totally open to it and like really kind of getting underneath any limiting beliefs or all of these other things, like what kind of party do you want to host? And so, and she replied right away being like, I'm in. Actually, she didn't reply right away, because this is actually interesting to watch my brain. I sent the email and I said like the three session, or no, I don't think I had said that again, but I sent the email being like, this is what we talked about. This is what I'd want to work on with you. Let me know if you're down. I'd love to get us started this week, because the event is at the end of March. And she didn't reply for, it wasn't that long, but in my head, I was like, forever.
Of course.
And I thought, oh no, I didn't understand the audience that I was working with. Maybe I got too woo-woo. And like when we were on the phone, I was able to say it in a way that was more, she could receive it better than typing it out. And I just was like, I literally was like, that's fine. Fail early. This is a good lesson. And then like she replied the next day being like, I'm available on Friday. Like, what is your price? And I was like, and so then I responded. I was like, well, you can do one session for $150, or if you want to book a three pack, it's $300. And she like Venmo'd me right away. And I was like, oh my God, like this is happening. But then I had the whole doom cycle of like, oh, but like, what have I done?
Yeah.
So, but I also feel kind of good. Like our first session's Tuesday. I want to spend time really thinking about what I want that first session to be like. I've been doing my research, kind of watching all of her TikToks and trying to get a sense, but I think I know what I want the first session to be. But yeah, then, and I'm also like really excited about introducing some meditation to her either during the sessions or as, I think the sessions will probably be mostly like us working through her text and then, and doing some of the stuff that I was talking about, like talking about how you're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was like, but I can then like offer her if she wants to do a breathwork session before the actual event to kind of clear her mind.
Mm-hmm.
That way we'll like have established so much rapport, hopefully. And so I was like, oh, there's like so much room if she's interested to like expand and even make this even more of a robust experience. And the thing that I said, and the final thing in my email, I just said like something supportive, like, I really think you're the perfect person for this job. And I'm so excited to work with you. And the reason that why I want to incorporate these other elements, not just the physical stuff, is I think this could, why not let this really matter for you, like as an experience, and preparing for it and letting it be an opportunity for you to kind of use it as a, like, maybe not a pivotal moment, but an important moment in your career, which is kind of changing. So that was really exciting. And I think, so that's how that happened.
Oh my gosh. I couldn't love your brain more than I do. I just want to pop it out of your head and squish, 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 and give it a little hug, because just the way you think about things very holistically, the questions you asked in that intake, great questions. How do you want this feel? And like, why don't we let this matter? Like, oh my gosh, you're very good at that. If all of those things come very intuitive and naturally to you, and you have a brain that sees things, you know, from the bigger picture perspective, holistically, and you can drill down and actually help people with tactics, you're amazing.
Thank you.
Yes, you're well positioned to help people with whatever you want to help them with. Really good, really good work. And for everyone listening, I just want to point out, there was the intake conversation. There was the time it took to write the proposal. Then she watched a bunch of TikToks on the client. Like, all of this is time before she's actually worked with her client. And that's why when we're setting prices, we just have to take that into consideration. It's not just the time you spend with a client. It's what else is necessary. And it's not just the functioning you're doing for your admin, like the intake call and the proposal and also the research, but also You have to make sure you're able to show up to each of these sessions ready to hold that space for her, which means you need space in your own life and you need to manage that kind of stuff so that you're ready. So the price of something is about the whole of it. And that is why in the Creating Cash Flow course, I talk about packaging, because it gets people away from thinking they're buying an hour with you. She's not buying 3 hours with you. She's buying multiple hours of your brain power, three of which you'll spend with her. Mm-hmm. And this is another reason why it's so important as a practitioner of any sort. Your job is to manage the time so that it's not a 75-minute appointment or a 90-minute appointment, because now you're just adding more time onto the time that you've put into this. And all the time you spend lowers your hourly rate. Mm-hmm. So if it's an hour session, it's up to you to like, how much, you know, let's get into it. Let's do the thing, but let me watch the clock or set a timer so that I have enough to wrap up the session. You don't want to do your wrap up after the hour. A lot of practitioners think, well, it's an hour session and they're of the mindset of like, I want them to feel like they get their money's worth. So I'll work with them for an hour. And then we'll spend 20 to 30 minutes like wrapping up and saying goodbye and getting out the door. Mm-mm, that's eating into the money. Mm-hmm. So the wrap up, you guys should be saying goodbye. The Zoom should be clicking off at the hour. Now, of course, you're going to have clients where it goes over a little here and it goes over a little there. That's fine. But if you are selling 1 hour sessions and you are repeatedly spending 90 minutes with your client, either you have to change the way you work or you have to have 90 minute sessions. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this, that was just for everyone listening.
Yeah. No, it's really,
you are feeling your way through this, but you just gave such a great delineation of like all the time and different things you're spending the time on for this client.
Right. And there's, yeah, other stuff too that just my own research and stuff.
Right.
Beyond just her. And yeah, that's a really good way of feeling better about the pricing.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. And you'll get faster at this kind of stuff, and you'll get everything will take you less time eventually. So in the beginning, it's not like I'm like, look at all the time you're spending, you should be charging. No. In the beginning, there's the learning curve. But I want everyone to be aware so that like a year into your business, you're still not eating away at your profit margin.
Another thing that was a good embodied lesson for me was about her paying upfront, which because we had a scheduling, like she had to change the schedule and then I had to change for our first meeting. And like, I could definitely feel the like panic of, oh no, what if it doesn't happen? But I was like, but then I was like, wait, no, she's already paid me. Like, there's no way that we're not going to work together. And it's okay that there was like some scheduling flub ups. And I was like, oh, it's so, that added security like helps me get rid of the anxiety, which is only taking up space in terms of like being prepared and able to help her out. So I was like, oh, that's why people want you to pay up front. Like, I think in my head as a be on the other side.
Right.
I've had people like kind of follow up or like, and I've always kind of been like, why does it matter? Like, I'm going to pay you. Like, but like, they don't know that, you know? So I was like, oh, that's why we want payment at the beginning. It kind of like, yeah.
It reassures you. It saves your energy because you now don't have to track. Did I get the payment? Let me send her a reminder for the payment. You don't have to chase money. It's just an energy saver. And certainly in quantities like $300, you know, anything up to $600, I think you can request. I mean, people request $25,000 paid in full for certain reasons for programs. So there's no limit, but like definitely up to, you know, $600. You don't need to split the payments. And if you split the payment, I think you either have to have like Stripe, where it just will automatically get that second payment set up for you automatically, or you have an assistant who takes care of it. Otherwise, just get people to pay in full.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it shifts your energy as well.
Yeah.
Totally. Because now you're like, we are doing three sessions. I can plan for it.
Yeah.
Instead of like, well, we'll do one and hopefully we'll do another one. But yeah.
Yeah. No, it's good. It got me inspired to really try to do more packages, or, I don't know, tell myself that that's what I want. So then I'm speaking of it in ways that will help others to want that as well and see the value in it for them too.
Yeah. And it's amazing, isn't it? Where our brain goes, you know, someone's like, yeah, I'll work with you. And you're like, ah, I don't know, but they paid me, but I don't know. And I mean, you know, my brain freaks me out as well. It's never going to stop, but that's the mindset of like, oh, the mindset work is so you can look at yourself and go, oh, brain, let's not spend our energy on that. And let's give her the benefit of the doubt that she'll email me back.
Mm-hmm.
And if not, I'll find another client.
Yeah.
And this one fell so easily into your lap. It's like, and sometimes it's easy come, easy go. Like sometimes they come really easy and sometimes they go for many weird reasons. And you're like, oh, well, that went away,
mm-hmm.
but it's okay.
Yeah.
It's all the flow of mm-hmm. it, but this sounds amazing. And you handled it so well.
Thank you.
So you had a question. About communication. Like, what do you call yourself?
Yeah.
Because you're like, coach doesn't really feel, facilitator, kind of impersonal, guide, not really feeling it. Yeah. And you're totally free to make up whatever you want. So guide is probably the closest of those three. How do you feel about the word practitioner?
That like also feels so medical and
clinical.
Mm-hmm. Clinical.
Mm-hmm. Mentor?
That feels like I'm not old. Like, I don't know.
Yep. There's a gravitas to that. Yeah. There's a gravitas. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe it doesn't matter. I just like, the more I'm starting to try to talk about this stuff more,
yep.
mm-hmm. I'm running into that like, hiccup of like, I'm just not quite sure what word to use or how to explain what it is that I do in a way that makes sense, in a way that like they can either, you know, come to me or tell somebody about me in a way that, you know,
yeah,
it's like I can eventually get around to it if I'm having a conversation with them, but I need, and also for like the marketing stuff that I haven't started really yet at all, it's kind mm-hmm. of all been about. But I do want to start doing that. And I'm like, I need to find ways to communicate what I'm doing.
Yeah, let's talk about that. So breathwork and meditation classes and privates to artists and actors. So breathwork meditation.
Like, is there a word for coach that's like less sporty?
That's less what?
Sporty.
Sporty. Great. I'm sure there are.
Maybe I need a thesaurus.
Yeah. Thesaurus is good. Just Google. All you have to do is Google like coach synonym, and then it'll bring you to all the good pages for words. Yeah. I'd look around and... don't be afraid to choose something that is not a thing or not a thing people have ever heard of before, because that is a good conversation starter. Like when people would be like, well, what do you do? And I'd say, well, I'm a change strategist. What the fuck is that? I don't know. I made that up. So I put those two words together because I didn't want to say coach. But then I would be able to explain to them, oh, well, you know, people who are facing changes, whether, you know, by chance or by choice, there can be complexity there. There can be some fear there. There can be like, I don't know what to do there, overwhelmed there. And I help them through that process, you know? Mm-hmm. So for you, it's like, what are you actually doing with this particular client? It's very clear. It's like she's going into a new environment in which she could likely freak out. And you are going to help her think about it in a certain way and feel into it and learn some tools, all of which that's going to calm her down, center herself, and allow her to do her best work.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't even have to have a term for yourself. When people go, well, what do? Mm-hmm. You can say, well, you know, artists and actors and creatives are often, you know, they step into new territory that can freak their body out, can freak their mind out, and they want to do their best work, but it's such a new situation that they're not sure they're going to be able to. And I use breath work, I use meditation, I use other tools to help them frame what's happening in a really good way, and then calm their body down and get in alignment so they can do their best work.
Mm.
You just explain that. Mm-hmm. It paints a nice picture.
Mm-hmm.
But I prefer painting a picture for someone versus just using words. Because when you say breath work or meditation, that means if you and I are at a party and I'm like, oh, so what do you do? Oh, you know, I do guided meditation and breath work for people. You're letting me define what those two words are. And they're going to be defined based on my experience with the word of like, oh my God, she's like my wacky Aunt Linda with the meditation. Like, or, oh my God, I love meditation. Like, but you're letting me define it.
Right.
So those words are useful as categories. But as far as when someone says, what do you do? It's like, what I really do is this. And it doesn't even have to be a broad description. One of the things I used to say for a while was like, well, I do a lot of things. I just worked with a client who'd moved into this new house and they were this and that was feeling like this. And so we did this and then they felt like this. Like, mm-hmm. I just gave them one client example. Well, I just worked with a gal who is in the video game industry and was asked to host this event, but she's never hosted before. And she was like, is my voice going to be right? I'm feeling really like nervous because this is new territory. And we did this and I did this and then did this. And then she felt really great and was really centered and able to do her best work.
Yeah.
And had a good time.
Yeah. That's the part I'm the most excited about.
Yeah.
I think the part I'm most, and it's with the actors too. It's like the thing that I really want to be helping with is helping people to just have a better time doing what they've chosen to do.
That is a beautiful sentence. What do? I help artists of all sorts have a better time doing the thing they love to do. Oh, well, what, how?
Mm.
Oh, well, I do this and I do this and I do some of this. And that's a great sentence. Mm. I honestly would start there. What do? I help artists of all kinds have a better time doing what they do. Because that's going to elicit a question and then you can expand and you don't have to have a label on it.
Right.
And
yeah,
it's not necessarily going to harm your marketing if we can't put you in a tidy box. No one, I've defied a tidy box for so, I mean, much to my own frustration, I would have loved, all I wanted was a tidy box.
That's ironic, because didn't you help people originally with tidying their boxes?
Yeah, there you go. Look what she did, everybody. That's pretty slick. Indeed. And it's easier when you're an organizer. But once I got into the coaching, it was like, blah. And I would ask clients, how would you describe me? And they were all like, meh, meh. Nobody would say the same thing. I was looking for words and phrases. And I'm like, well, how do you pass me on to other people? Because I know you referred people. Just say that you're like magic, or just say you should do, like, I don't know. She does things and she'll ask you questions and you should just go. I'm like, okay. So I got clients based on really piss poor descriptions of what it is I do. Most people just will trust if someone they trust passes them on to someone. Because look how you got this client. Mm-hmm. So your friend was like, oh, I have this other, do you know anybody? And you were like, yeah, me. And he's like, oh, okay. So he liked you enough to pass you on to her. She trusted him enough to be like, okay, I'll talk to her. And then you were able to talk in a way that she now triangulated that trust a little. She took a little from him and then took a little from you. And was like, I don't need to look any further. And I think sometimes as we think about our marketing, we forget to factor in the fact that people don't want to look much further. Right. Like, people just want someone to recommend the person, and they'll really, really trust, because the idea of like having to go search for more people. Now, you're not asking for much. You're asking for a couple $100 and a couple hours. If it's a CPA or a realtor or a lawyer, maybe someone should have meetings with several people, agents, you know, you shop around for bigger things. But there's always times where you walk in, you're just like, I like you. I don't want to look anymore. I want to try this out.
Yeah. I mean, that's how I am.
I'm that way a lot too. Yeah. So don't,
it's a good way to live.
it moves things along. Yeah. It just moves things along. And if you are able to speak in an intake or introductory or discovery call or whatever you want to call that, introductory chat, if you're able to speak as well as you can about how you see the problem, where you think they're at, how you can contribute, and really what you did is painted a picture for her. And if you can paint those pictures, that's all people need, is to feel like, oh yeah, my friend was right about this person. Great.
Yeah. Okay, that's helpful.
So the perfect what I'm saying is the perfect marketing message and the perfect title for my business and the perfect logo, that's usually not what convinces people about anything. And I'm kind of living proof of that, because I've just been kind of passed along weirdly for a long time, you know. And a lot of, I think, consistency with just being out there, and this is for everybody listening, just putting yourself out there consistently, not constantly, but over time, just reminding people you're not dead yet or haven't moved on. That really does work, because I can't tell you how many times people are like, oh, I heard about you years ago. I paid a coach this last year several thousand dollars. I was like, I want to do your thing. I want to hire it. And she's like, where did you come from? And I'm like, oh, I heard about you like 10 years ago in connection with somebody else I really was following and trusting. But I didn't need what you were doing back then, but now I do. And then I saw your thing and I was like, oh yeah, her. I remember her. I like where she came. Like, it was just, she's like, that was so fast. I'm like, when you know, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm like, but you built up my trust 10 years ago by doing that thing with the other person I trusted.
Mm.
So I didn't, she's like, did you look at anybody else? I'm like, no, you are good, but I like you. Let's do this. Yeah. So
yeah, that's so interesting. That, like,
that will happen. Impressed.
I love that. Cool.
So your job is to experiment with words coming out of your mouth about what you do. Sometimes it will fall flat and you'll be like, well, that was confusing. Sometimes it'll work. Sometimes you'll come up with a phrase that just tumbles out of your mouth and you're like, oh, I'm keeping that one. And you may start to discover, oh, if it's this type of person, I'm going to describe myself this way. And if it's this type of person, I'm going to describe myself a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Marketing is very much sold as like, you have your one description, your one elevator pitch. And it's like, ah, sometimes it's different depending on who you're talking to.
Yeah. Well, how does that work then with like a social media or a website where it's just one home?
Oh, you can just talk about yourself slightly differently. Okay. You just want to show the different angles. Okay. Because social media especially is like little tiny bits. So it's like, you'll want to mention breath work, and then you'll want to mention meditation. And then you'll want to mention, you just worked with this hostess person that did this thing. And then you just keep talking about all the little facets of what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And people will be like, ooh, I like the meditation facet. Like, that's how they'll be drawn to you. But the other person will be drawn to breath work, and the other person will be drawn just because you're a working actress and they want to be like, whoa, what's that all about?
Yeah.
And you're an artist as well. So that,
I know, I was about to say, all my social media right now is just only these little doodles that I'm doing. I'm like, oh no.
But you know what you can do?
Okay.
Do the doodle, post the art, and in the caption, yeah, mention something about the businessy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I have something in there. I'm like letting the artwork thing be this like really awesome challenge for me to just kind of get over the posting hump.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking too much about it. And I'm like, I'm kind of okay if it creates this like big block of, because I'm like, it feels, I don't know what exactly I'm working through, but I feel like I'm working through a lot with it. And then on the other side, I think I'll maybe have more room to kind of really figure out how it is I want to use my little tiny platform. But a platform all the same.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I think now that social media has been around for a while, everybody has the phases they go through on social media, and you don't necessarily have to wipe it clean. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to necessarily worry about it, because, you know, certain people never see your page altogether. And certain people certainly never scroll, you know, do a deep dive. And then there's going to be the people who do the deep dive scroll because for some reason they just want to know more about you. I just did this with somebody on TikTok. I'm like, I want to get down to the origin story. I always like to get down to the first one to see. And it was fascinating because the person first was doing videos about one thing. Then they got brave and started doing the videos about what they really wanted to be doing. And then they mentioned one little fact about themselves. And that became everything. People picked up on, they're like, that's what I want to hear about. And then all of a sudden, that is now their thing on TikTok, which was not their first thing or their second thing.
But they
also did a good job of just weaving these three very different things together, very different. And that's just them. They're like, if you've been following me from the beginning, you know three things about me, like this, this, and this. Yeah. And then they just share. So it really doesn't matter.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. All right. So just play with the words coming out of my mouth, explaining what I do. This is good. I have a good opportunity actually, because I'm in LA. I just got here this morning for the week.
Oh, wow.
from New York. I moved to New York. Did I tell you that?
Yeah. I think. Yeah. 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 You're in New York now.
But I'm back, like seeing a lot of people. And so the conversation of like, what have you been up to is like coming up a lot. So, or already today, and I'm imagining will continue to. So I have actually a good opportunity to practice this.
Yes. And you lead by, so what have you been up to? Oh my God, it's been exciting. Mm-hmm. I have been helping. But it's been exciting. That's the energy.
Yeah.
Because people kind of remember your vibe mm-hmm. even more than all the specific words that you say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sweet.
Yeah. And if you, and this is for everyone listening, like if you take the tactic for a while to just answer the question, so what do you do by going, well, I help people with the boop, 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 with the I help sentence. There might be a person who goes, oh, so you're like a blah, blah, blah. And you're like, yes, what you said, that's it. Like someone else might give you the terminology.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's interesting to think about.
Or you might hear people, they keep saying, she's a breathwork coach. She's a breathwork coach. She's a breath. Then you're a breathwork coach. If everyone is like talking in those terms and that's the phrase that they mm-hmm. like, then yeah. just use it.
Yeah. Well, that's like so this kind of leads me to my second question about the testimonials mm-hmm. a little bit.
Yep.
It's like the breathwork thing is the thing that I have spoken the most about, and it's the thing I've shared the most of. It's never been like the only thing I've wanted to do. And like so much of my resistance towards it is like thinking that if I commit to it, it like is the only, well, this is clearly a part of my commitment issues. They cross over to business too, but I like think that everything else is not possible, but I know that that's not true. And I think something that I was so excited about this client, Leslie, where it's like kind of came out of nowhere. And like I said, it's not what I thought it would look like, but it actually made so much sense and it felt so right. And it might be more aligned because it's like incorporating all these different things. But so it's kind of like, okay, so what I am and what I'm doing is kind of still becoming, and maybe always will, mm-hmm. but the testimonials I have and the kind of the like already kind of the network of entrepreneurial trust that I'm building is all about the breath work. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if I can like still use those to help support the other things that I'm doing. Yeah.
Yes, totally. Okay.
It's the same skill set.
Testimonials, people, it's interesting. They're important and they're not important. You kind of need to have them because people expect you to have some and for them to be good. It's a little weird if you just have no testimonials. But people also discount testimonials because like, yeah, they're putting all the good stuff up on the website. Of course they are. I mean, do they have these 5 people who love them and 20,000 people who had a bad experience? You don't know. So it's like, you need to have them, but I'm not going to trust them, but you need to have them or else I don't trust you at all. So it's just that kind of thing. And if there are sentences in the bigger breathwork testimonials that you can pull out that are just more like, oh, June put me such at ease, and like that don't necessarily have to do with breath work. You can do that. But I say just put the testimonials because people don't really read them. Most people don't.
Yeah.
They're just sort of like, oh, yeah, okay, good. They look to see if there's anybody they know, any famous person that you worked with. Like, you know, but some people nowadays, no attribution or just initials. And certainly with caregivers, they don't want their name necessarily splashed all over the place. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Nope. And you're going to start with this client to get a different kind of testimonial now.
Yeah. Right.
And I would encourage you, based on what I've just heard today and the kinds of questions you are able to ask and understand when you get the answer from the person. Because that's the other thing about people who are like, I took a life coach certification and I have my little sheet of the 12 questions to ask during an intake session. I'm like, yeah, but do you know what to do with the answers? Mm-hmm. Asking the questions, like that's the basic part. And you had excellent questions, but knowing what to what those answers mean and where you're going to take her based on those answers and what might be the best tools for her based on her answers. That is the chops. That's where we're getting into brain power. So really good. But since you have that ability, I really think this business should be angled towards the things we've talked about helping artists do their best work. I would much rather everyone base their business on the journey you take people through rather than a label. I do meditation. It's like, but because I don't think people want meditation or breath work. They right. want the journey.
Yeah.
That's no funny. One, I can tell you that from experience, because no one wants to organize. Yeah. None of my clients wanted to organize. They wanted the end result that it gave them. So I wasn't selling organizing. I'm selling, I will get you to that end result faster, more fun, easier than you can get there yourself. That's why they were hiring me.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's really helpful. Really helpful.
Yeah.
It's even helpful just as like a framework, like as a compass. Because yeah. I have this other thing coming up where I'm making a meditation series for an acting school that I work for. Mm-hmm. They asked me to. And
congratulations.
Thank you. I know I'm honored, but I also am like flooded with fear around it because I'm not certified in meditation. I am in breathwork, but not a meditation. I have had my own practice for a long time. And I do meditations kind of naturally during the breathwork sessions. And like part of me knows that I know what to do, but part of me also knows that I'm missing formal education around it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also like, but what weird westernized formal thing have we done to meditation? Where it's like, is that even valid? But doing what you just did, which is like remembering what it is I'm trying to solve, like what it is I'm trying to help the actors get to, and it's not even about doing the meditations, but it's about the end result, will help me kind of make those decisions around what specific types of meditations I want to do, because there's a million that I could do, but like deciding, like pruning down to the ones that actually will be in service of why they asked me in the first place and what I think I'm excited to do. So it's nice to like get, it's the mission statement thing, I suppose.
Yeah, it's the why. It's the what are we really doing here?
Yeah.
And there are many meditation teachers, and all of them come from slightly different angles and have slightly different voices, very different voices, in fact, you know, and you're going to be a great fit with certain people. And you don't know who they are. That's why you do it for everybody. And then your people find you and pick you. But also, you're going to be coming to this particular group of people. You understand them. You understand their fears, insecurities, anxieties. You understand what they do for a living and how it's done. And you bring that with the meditation. And that's the secret sauce. Not the expertise in meditation, because somebody could come in and just do a meditation their way that they do with every, no matter who they're in front of, you know, and it just won't have the same warmth or flavor as what you could bring.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about somebody's better than me or somebody's more experienced than me. They're getting exposed to, in this case, because they're not your client. The person bringing you in is your client. They're being exposed to your flavor of ice cream. That's it. Your flavor. So I'm going to give you my flavor. And for some people, they're going to be like, oh my God, that's the best flavor. And some people are like, I don't trust people without degrees. So, okay, they're not your people, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you might be the best person to introduce somebody to meditation.
Yeah.
Because you're not a big fancy pants person that they might be intimidated by.
Right.
There's just, I can sit here and give you just as many arguments about why having a ton of experience and accreditations and degrees is good and bad. It's equal. It's neither. It's neutral. You have experience. Great. You have degrees. Great. There's light side, dark side. It's all in the mix.
Yeah. But the reality is like I'm making this and I don't have those things. So leaning aside and let go of like, yeah.
You were asked to do this.
Yeah.
So trust that whoever asked you for some reasons that they felt were good. And very often people become more open, especially to new things, if they're like, oh, but she's just like me. Like she's not some weird, you know, part in the beaded curtain with her muumuu coming out, or this person with like, I can't do meditation unless I've studied 12 years in Tibet kind of thing. It's like, nope. She's just a gal and this is a tool and okay, let me be open-minded about it.
Yeah, that's so true. It's so funny. I've had like some fear recently because I'm an active member of this group.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been a couple times where I've come to these calls or whatever, and I've like expressed something that, like some anxiety or something that's going on with me as just like a fellow artist and student. And then I've like afterwards, I've been like, oh no. Should I have not exposed myself because I'm about to introduce them to like my breath work. Like, I just like had this.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'm supposed to be the one, not the one, but like someone that they come to. But what you're saying to me is actually maybe in some way, not for everybody, but for the people that are my people, that may have only been enhancing the trust because they know that I am truly just like them.
Yeah. Yeah. Your people are just this perfect little fit for you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to change much of anything. You will get your people. Yeah.
Okay. I'm excited, but I'm like nervous, but I'm excited.
Yeah. Do you know why you're nervous? Because you're going into new territory outside your comfort zone. It's like, it's new.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. As long as you have nervous with excited, you're in the right place.
Yeah. I am excited. I just, sometimes I think like, I actually feel good now, but I have moments where I'm just like, am I in a position to lead anybody right now?
Oh, Every single person on earth is in a position to lead other people. Because there's always people in front of us and there's always people behind us in certain things. That's the other thing. You have a wide range of categories of interests and abilities and skills. And in some of those categories, there are people behind you. And so you're naturally able to lead them should you want to and should they want you to. Yeah. All of us are in line, but the line is infinite. There's always people ahead of everybody on earth and always people behind everybody on earth. I saw a video today. He's a genius. Like he's 4 years old and he gave this no notes, this memorized speech about reading and how he was giving a presentation to teachers at this meeting and he's 4 years old and he's like this little motivational speaker of like, reading is great and it's enhanced my vocabulary and really taught me to be curious. Like, what? This four-year-old was in leading this room of adults.
Wow.
He had a message and was delivering the message. And it was inspiring no matter what he was saying. It was just inspiring that here's a kid who is being, you know, hopefully well parented as far as they're certainly cultivating his intelligence. We'll give them that. That's inspiring.
Yeah.
He's leading them. And when a little 4-year-old's like, this is possible, you're like, it's not that, you know, you're like, he doesn't understand a lot of the nuance of what he's saying, but you're a little heart, everybody's heart just goes, you know, it's like that child is talking to our inner child. So he was leading that room. Everybody on earth can lead. It's not that you're special because you're a leader. It's that you decided you wanted to be a leader and you figured out some stuff to be able to lead. Mm-hmm. And leader, by the way, neutral, light side, dark side.
Yeah, totally.
Leadership, neutral.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It reminds me of like have you read Priya Parker's book, The Art of Gathering?
No, but I've heard about it. I heard it's really beautiful.
But she talks about like, it's such an important thing in gatherings for there to be a leader, like someone who's in charge. And she talks about generous authority and how you can't like, you can't not have any authority, but that authority definitely needs to be generous, generous variety. But I was like, oh yeah, you do. We actually like to know the order of things. We like to be led.
Well, it makes us feel safe. And when we feel safe, we can lower our defenses and be receptive.
Yeah.
I like being in positions where I'm not the leader. I enjoy being just a student or a member of the group because I do so much where I'm the centrifugal force of the situation. So it feels very relaxing to me. And as long as the leader is leading well, then I'm like, I'm in your hands. I don't care. I'm not trying to prove myself. I'm not trying to fight for the authority. I mean, I may know some stuff, but I'm like, no, I'm in your hands. You're doing a good job.
Yeah.
It's when they're like not doing a good job that I'm just like, I must get out of this room because it's just not being managed well. Like, oh, it's excruciating. And my bar is low. It's not like they're not meeting my very high bar, right. But it's just like the basics. Let's monitor the time. Let's, you know, not let people talk too long. Like let's, Yeah. But I love a good leader, man. Oh, it's relaxing.
Me too. So I have a question too about like now, well, like kind of in the realm of naming, because the way that I've been thinking about whatever it is that I'm building is this, like the rib cage is this visceral, important to me, like meaningful name.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like wondering if it doesn't make sense for what it is that I'm, because the rib cage, it feels like a place that maybe one day I will have. Or even if it's an online school or something, but like it feels like more of like an entity. Mm-hmm. And right now, while this is still so young, I'm like, it's more like I'm moving in the direction of that, but I'm not quite in the rib cage yet. I'm like rib by rib, I suppose, like person by person that I'm being with one-on-one mostly. Maybe if I start doing more group sessions or something, but it just feels like even if I did a group class, it would be at another studio or at a school. And like me being one person, it feels weird to be like, I'm the rib cage. So I'm just wondering if like, or maybe like speaking, like talking through, maybe it's not, I'm not calling it that just yet. Or if I just keep that for my own inspiration. I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
I totally know what you're saying. And it's interesting. So what I hear you saying is I can either keep that as kind of like a symbolic thing and a metaphor for myself. It could be an aspect of whatever it is I'm building, a group program or the web's like the entity or the membership or the whatever. Or it could be the name of the package like that you're offering now.
Yeah.
Like and the name for the whole thing. I got it when I first read it, you know, because you do breath work and the rib cage. Like I got it. And I think people would get it.
There's also like more of a story around it. I don't know.
In what way?
Because, what is it? Because I had surgery. I got my rib taken out in 2021. It was like big deal. But the reason that I had the issue, well, was because when I was 16, I started doing professional theater in DC, and it was really an intense, wonderful experience, but deeply intense. And I, looking back, like really was not supported in the ways that I should have been as like a prepubescent 16-year-old working that professionally under like extreme amounts of stress. But part of the show that I did is I had to do these rope tricks, these lasso tricks. And that over time, my doctors figured out, like over the course of 10 years, created all this scar tissue in my vein because my main trick is like this. So I ended up, it was very scary. I had all these blood clots and it was like quite a traumatizing time. Also really amazing time in its own way. It's like really started me on so many things, but so when I got the rib taken out, I really was like, what am I going to build with this rib? I was very interested in the biblical kind of allegory of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I was like, you know, what is my Eve? Like, what am I building? And then that was the first time I ever had the idea of like quiet onset meditations. That was like my first kind of iteration of this thing. And then it's evolved where I was like, oh no, I want to build this space for all the messy stuff, the heart, the breath, all the stuff to happen inside. But really around like supporting actors stressful times so that they, you know, they can say no when they need to say no, or, you know, not, because there's other things that like I'm still struggling with because of the intensity of that experience. So it all kind of like tied in together over the course of this last like year and a half. But I also just like, it feels further down the line. Like it feels like maybe it's like I have like a whole theater company or something, or I don't know, like eventually that's like a safe space for actors, like the rib cage holding everybody in.
Mm-hmm. And I love with that story. It makes it so meaningful. That's such a great story. And I do feel like it's down the line.
Yeah.
And I do feel that you'll know it. And your first iteration of it, don't fear that you have one shot at sort of making it, claiming it, using that name, and you can never reuse that name again. You can have many incarnations of something, but that is a beautiful symbol. Because when I read it, knowing about the breath work and the meditation, I'm like, of course, because the heart's there, the lungs are there. Like, yeah. And it is a protective device. Protective element of our bodies. That's a great story. Like any artist reading that would be like, oh, would love you. I think it's a great story.
Yeah, I think
it's vulnerable, but also really creative.
Mm-hmm. And I have my rib. Like it sits on my little desk when I'm home, like next
to my gosh.
But I think maybe my plan with that is to continue really daydreaming about what that is.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe down the line, like working, I do a lot of like future self work too, mm-hmm. which is like letting that be a vision that is like, I don't know, somehow manifesting in another dimension right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And knowing that the work that I'm doing, like kind of on the ground here in this dimension, working with people and continuing to like gather information about what's needed and is working towards that vision, but that vision is still kind of like just something that it's, and it kind of feels precious too, to kind of keep it a dreamy thing. So for now, maybe I'm just like, and maybe I had that instinct and that's why I'm like, I need to figure out what to call myself, because right now I'm like just myself. And so that's, yeah, I can.
Yeah, I see that. I see that. But you're, you could also go in the direction of words like alchemist. Like you can get a little out there. Depends on, you know, what you wanted to do.
I think it's like, I love those words. I get really excited by them, but mm-hmm. I actually think my target audience, like you're saying, is people that are kind of just coming into this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
I think I'd want to keep it more accessible. Mm-hmm. I don't want to turn people away.
Yeah.
And especially when I had that fear after that email where I was like, oh no, I said the word intention. She's
Yeah.
So I think, but me personally, yeah, again, like I think about alchemy all the time in terms of mm-hmm. my own shadow self and stuff. I like the grounded, understandable nature of maybe some other words that I haven't found yet.
Yeah. So do a little research in that area, let it percolate, you know, when you're in the shower, when you're taking a walk, that kind of stuff. And then just keep talking about what it is you do and just keep writing, you know, on social media, like say it, describe it without having the right perfect words. Just talk about your clients and your past clients. Because even though you have a testimonial from one of your past breathwork clients, you can still tell us the story about like that person came to me because they were feeling this.
Yeah.
And then this is how it helped them. Mm-hmm. That's what I think the very last cash flow session that we had, we talked with one of the gals about bringing someone through the arc of a testimonial, like an interview, doing a little interview to get a testimonial for a client study, for a case study. Very call right before this one. And there's 5 questions you ask and just leads them through the arc of the story, but you don't have to do that with the person. In her case, she was like, how do I get a testimonial from this client I just worked with? And I said, oh, don't ask them for a testimonial, ask them for a little mini interview. And then you get the information. And then if they say something, you can be like, oh, can I pull that quote? That's such a good, you know, you can do that. But you, having had worked with clients, you can tell us the little arc of their journey.
Yeah. Well, I even asked, when I asked some people for testimonials, I like to help them. I was like, why don't you like think about how you felt before and how you felt after, so that people know how to use me.
Yes, and exactly.
It's very touching. But also, I think this was actually my question about the testimonials. I've trying to just like get practice and get the word out there. I've worked with a lot of my friends mm-hmm. who are not all actors, but like, mm-hmm. and I don't only want to work with actors, obviously.
Right.
But like that is kind of when I think about like focusing in, like starting really specific. I think that's a really good market for me mm-hmm. for all the reasons we've talked about.
Yep.
But can I still use those testimonials even if they're not from the exact kind of people that you are?
Yeah. Yeah. Because the people who are actors are after the same thing the other people were after.
Right.
You're not.
People are not
technically helping actors with anything actor specific, because even this video game gal who's doing this hosting gig, it's like, okay, but that could be just a person from corporate who had to do a presentation in front of a client or something. Like getting centered inside your body and knowing what your intention is and being able to have fun in the moment you're doing it. That's just a very across the board thing.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, those testimonials apply. They apply to what you're able to offer somebody.
Yes. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of the stuff is directed, like these meditations that I'm making, like I'm like specifically designing them to be like character development meditations.
No, that's fine. Cause you were asked by a particular client to design something specific for them. But I'm just saying, like, if you do breath work with somebody over here and you do this kind of work with somebody over here and you do meditation with somebody over here, you're just leading people to the same kind of result.
Yeah.
Which is more integration and centered and present. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And enjoying themselves.
Exactly.
Yeah. We gotta love
it. Yeah.
And then I think the next phase iteration of this is going to be, I want to pitch to directors to hire me to be like a guest facilitator or whatever I'm calling myself at, like throughout the rehearsal process, to like get to be a part of the development of a show or something for theater, or like quiet on set meditations back to the original seat of like. So I'm really excited about that. Like not only working with individuals, but working with a team of people that is like working on the same play, the same question, and seeing if we can like use these subconscious technologies to, elevate that whole experience for everyone. And then ultimately the performance for the audience.
Okay. I'm looking at that from a business brain. Theoretically, how delicious, how wonderful. Of course, everyone is going to benefit from it, like undeniably. Mm-hmm. But in a situation where people are doing a play, directors, actors, who's your client? Who's paying you to be there? It's not the director. He's not going to cut the check, or she's not going to cut the check, or they's not going to cut the check. So how do you get invited into that situation? So but it's not impossible, because there's vocal coaches, movement coaches, dialect coaches. These are all very specific coaches that often are brought into a production. The thing about them though, is there's something about the production that's sort of like, undeniably, we need their service. It's baked into the play. So artistic director, the theater has to pony up the money. But you can help any production, but also lots of productions don't have somebody like you, it'll go on anyway.
Right.
And theater is notorious, budget wise. So I feel like that would be something you could do to earn a credit for your, like a stamp of approval, like, ooh, I worked with this theater company, or ooh, I worked with this director on this fancy project. Like you'd want something like a really cool project, so you can mention that as sort of something to add prestige. It's like a prestige voucher, but not necessarily a source of income. And that's important in business. That's why you do free workshops and, just to be like associated with the brand. But thinking of it as a source of income, I have my doubts.
Yeah.
Because you always have to ask, who's cutting the check?
Right.
That's your client. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they have to have a need. You have to be able to make them aware of the need.
Right.
Yeah. And then you always, always, always want to do business with people who have the money.
It was so interesting. I'm on that, and I know we're about to finish up, but like I at first was like, I was like, I can't work with actors. They don't have money. Like I thought that. And then I was like, I turned that around on myself. I was like, this is clear. Like, I can't believe I'm talking that way about me also. I was like, I clearly have some money mindset work to do, because what a limiting untrue way of looking at this profession. So it was really illuminating about like my own kind of internal prejudice and like nasty talking that I was doing about myself first and foremost, probably, and then projecting it onto my fellow actors. And then I was like, that's such bullshit. And it was like, actors are also the people I trust more than anyone to invest in themselves. Mm-hmm. And like have like the training in deciphering what is the best school for them at this moment, or what do they need to work on, accents or whatever. So I was like, that was such bullshit, but it was running my brain. It took me a while to become conscious of it.
Isn't it crazy? We're steeped in these unconscious stories fed to us by capitalism, patriarchy, misogyny, like, oh, my racism, like all of it. And it's just really like, oh, when you realize, oh my God, yes, me too. Like I was saying the same weird stuff to myself and about other people. And this is across the board. People have this experience. I remember I was in an actor's, all of my organizing clients at first were fellow actors. And there was this woman and she would keep showing up. I met her like in this group, but she would keep showing up. She always looked disheveled, like in her sweats, and not really nice sweats, just like hair askew. I'm like, oh, poor thing. And so when she hired me, I'm like, oh yeah, she was nice. I totally would love to work with you. No problem. I'll give you a special rate. Cause I just thought like, what, you know, oh my God, I pulled up in front of her house and I sat in my car and hit the steering wheel. I was like, damn it, damn it, damn it. I'm like, definitely not a special rate. I mean, I had to, but I took the lesson. I like to learn things the first time. I don't want to be learning this lesson again. I was like, okay, I will never judge the book by the cover. Either way, like I'm just going, these are my prices. I'm going to get my nose. My nose was buried in her business. My nose was in her wallet. And it was making assumptions that it knew nothing about, apparently. So. And you are not your client either. Because you're like, oh, but I have to charge this much because I'm spending all this time to do this. And I don't know if I would pay for this. Of course you wouldn't. This isn't your problem. That's why you're the leader. I'm not going to pay for organizing because I can do it. But there's plenty of things I know. I totally am like, yes, please. How can I pay you? Because I don't want to do it and I don't know how or. Yeah. So we're not our clients for our own business. My sister kept drumming that in. She's like, that session with you is a pair of boots to somebody else and a cheap pair of boots at that. And I'm like, okay, right.
But not getting in the way of like people investing in themselves too.
Exactly. Yeah. Get your nose out of their business.
Yeah. Like let them decide.
Yeah. They could have gotten inheritance. Somebody else might be paying for this, or they may just value it so much and see it as a key piece of their expansion that they're totally willing and are glad to pay you.
Yeah.
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 What were you going to say?
Amazing. I cannot believe my luck.
See? It's meant to be. But this was a really good discussion for anybody to listen to because we really went through an arc of a lot of things. So
we did. Yeah. I have a lot to write about right now. So thank you so much. Okay.
You're so welcome. I'm so happy for you. Enjoy LA and cat sitting.
Thank you.
That's so fun. I miss my cats. Take care, June.
Bye, Christine.
Bye.